So we began to explore the Gemara and Daf Beis on Beis, opening question of the Gemara, the logical first question. Here we have a Din Rabbanan in the Mishnah and Daf Beis. V'fayin echtam. The if specifically of a shliach lahalacha and a get, and if you bring it from Medinat Hayam, so then Chazal said it's not enough to do the Doraisa, which is to deliver the get liyad ha'isha, to be the shluch shom kamoso v'nasam v'yada, but you need to also say v'fayin echtam. So what's the reason? So Rabbi says because ain't bekiyin l'shma, and Rabbi says because ain't edim Mitsuyin Lakaimo. Rabbi says the concern is maybe the get wasn't written properly. Rabbi says the concern is maybe the whole thing's a forge. Rabbi says the concern is maybe it wasn't written properly. There is a din of Lashma. The get has written Lashma. Third parak of Maseches Gittin. That's a din daraisa. So in Medina Sayyam, in Eretz Yisrael, we're not so concerned. B'nei Yisrael, B'nei Torah. There's a much higher percentage, much higher incidence in Medina Sayyam of people who are lav b'nei Torah. And Rashi says they may not know. Ein Yodin. They don't know that there's need for Lashma. That's Rabbi's concern. So the Shliach has said, fayin echtam, and that will verify that it was done Lashma. Rashi says it'll verify because it leads to conversation, and in the course of conversation we'll ask him about Lashma. Tosis is another approach, but that's the Shita of Rabba. And the Shita of Reva is we're worried about the husband showing up and claiming the whole thing's a forge. And the normal solution to that is Kiyam Mashtar. But we're not going to be able to do Kiyam Mashtar if the Edom are in a, if the original Edom were from a remote location. How are you finding people who are Kimi Makai Mishtar? Okay, then the Gemara gave several nafkaminas between these approaches. The first of which was Asyuhu Beitrei. The Mishnah says that in the box, how may they get me Medina Sayyam? So the question is are we Medayik in the box or not Medayik in the box? So Gemara says, Rabba says we're not Medayik in the box. Even if there are multiple Mevi'im, they still say Fainech. Then we still need to know, no matter how many people bring it, we still need to know was the get done properly or not. According to Rava, the concern is Ein Edim Mitzuyin L'Kaimo. If multiple people bring it, so then we're not worried about Ein Edim Mitzuyin L'Kaimo. That's the Gemara. So we began, we're going to need to dig in, particularly to number two, to Asyuhu Beitrei. For now, number one, Lefi She'ein Bekiyin L'Shma. Lefi She'ein Bekiyin L'Shma. What's the concern? The concern is, look, coming from Medina Sayyam, the Lav B'nai Torah, there's a heightened concern that it wasn't done properly, so you better make sure, Midrabanan, if it was indeed not done properly, it's possible in a Torah. So Midrabanan, they say, if you're coming from Medina Sayyam, you gotta ask. You gotta ask the Shliach. We require that he says, B'fanai Nichtav, U'B'fanai Nechtam. So Tosis raises a kasha. What's Tosis kasha? What's Tosis first kasha? Why daft the Lashma? There are a lot of rules. Now, again, Lashma is an example not only of a psul of a get, but specifically an undetectable psul. It's a psul that I cannot discover just by looking at the get. I can look at the get. So if I see that the language of the get is proper, so I know the language of the get is proper. I don't have those psul. But Lashma, you can't tell. There are other things you also cannot tell, like mechuber. Maybe this had been part of a much bigger piece of parchment, and the sofer wrote the get in the corner, and then subsequently he trimmed off the rest. That's possible. That's a din daraisa. So how do you know that why dafka lishma? So Tosfos presents two approaches, at which we started at last time. Let's come back to that. And then the Ran presents a third. Tosis presents two approaches. First they say, don't say X. Instead, Rana Tam said, Y. What should you not say? What's the first shot that he doesn't like? Lashma is more common. Lashma is the most common psal. And Tosis explains, and they agree to that. It is indeed a more common psal. Why is there more common psal? Good. There are a lot of cases. Tosis gives two cases where it can happen. Number one, on the husband's side, maybe he found a pre-written get that written for someone else with the same names. And then, on the sofer's side, maybe the sofer produced a get which was Shelo Lishma. Because Tosis gives a whole explanation. He was sort of just, he was writing forms, and he's agav shitfei. He was just in the flow. He just ended up, so almost out of routine, out of the habit, writing names also. What's Tosis driving at? Why is that more shriach? I mean, I could think of cases where the sofer wrote a b'mechubar. Well, because there are two cases. So what's Tosis' point? It's more shriach because...
Theoretically, kosher to write that get, it's just
been
after.
These are appropriate things to do. It's totally appropriate for a sofer to write a get for a couple. And then, once it's written for the couple, maybe some other husband with the same name is going to repurpose it. So that's one way. And then the other case also, it starts kosher. The sofer was writing tofse gitten. He was writing forms. He was writing part of the nusach of the get, the part that could be written shalal l'shma. He's writing the part that can be written Shelo Lishma, and it started okay, and then he, out of habit, because so often he writes that language together with the rest of the get, for real, so he ended up, so we can think of two cases where the sofer, it begins with the sofer doing something appropriate. Whereas Mechubar, for instance,
it's already
possible. Right! You can't, you're not going to do that typically, you're never going to typically start writing a get on an overly large piece of parchment. So the sofer could do that. He could do that, but that's less common. Okay. So Tosis says, it's true that Lishma is more common. But therefore what? So the approach that Tosis had been giving and didn't like, Pierce number one was, Lishma is more common, and therefore, what does that explain? Why that's what we mentioned. And really, the first approach is, nothing's unique about Lishma. What Rabbi really means, there are lav b'nei Torah, who knows what's going out in the boondocks, who knows what's going on out in Medina Sayam, they may be writing, getting their Torah psulim. So some things we can look at the get and see. If they wrote the wrong nusach, we'll see. But anything that's not detectable, who knows how they messed it up? That's the first pshat in Tosis. We mentioned Lishma because Lishma is the most common concern. But yeah, it could also be a psalm, a chorber, it could be other psalm. Who knows? We just mentioned that which is most common. Tosis says that cannot be true. How do I know? A Pirush one is wrong. The case of the missing marker. How do I know that Pirush one is wrong? The Tosa said, look at what Gemara.
Yeah, good.
Let's take a peek at Gemara and Daftes. The Tosa's quotes are going to Daftes essentially to prove the following. Essentially to prove that when Rabbi says Lishma, he means only Lishma. The first pshat in Tosis is saying that we just mean Lishma and other. Lishma is just an example. This is the most common example. The problem, which would be nice if all we had was Dafez. But once you look at Daftes, Tosis says, you can't just look me Nebe. You have to look at a Gemara in the context of Ol Shas. Tosis says, you look, get another nine blot, it's eight blot into the Masechta, seven blot from Dafez to Daftes. Get another seven blot into the Masechta, and all of a sudden, everything is different. How so? If you take a look at Daftes Amud Aleph, the Mishnah, Daftes Amud Aleph is the next Mishnah in the Perek. The Mishnah there talks about, it makes several points, one of which is the Mishnah says that there are several similarities between Gitei Nashim Shechurei Avadim. The technical laws that govern how you properly write a get, and the technical laws that govern how you properly write a Shtar Shechur, to Mashachar Eved Kenani, there are a number of rules that they have in common. The Mishnah says there are several. Zu Achas Min HaDrachim Sheshav Gitei Nashim Shechurei Avadim. The Gemara says on the bottom of the Testament, I'll quote the Braisa, there are specifically three. Come on, bottom of the Testament. The Shlosha Jochim Shavu Gitnash Shavur Avon. A, B, and C. The first one is Maluch Lameim. The din of Befonai Nechta, Befonai Nechta. So the Mishnah said.
That's the Gemara list as one of the three. So now, in the course of Tesla Bez, the Gemara lists two others, not our issue right now. I can take a look at God. Over the course of Tesla Bez, the Gemara says, really? I could think, Gemara keeps asking Kashas, I could think of so many other dinim that are shared by Get and Shtar Shikr. Why did the Braises say there are only three? How about this? And how about that? And how about this? And how about that? And with that in mind, take a look around 10 lines, 12 lines to the bottom of Tesla Bez. The last word in the line of the Ha'ikah, and the little letter Zion of the little letter Zion of the Masoras Hashas. Here we are. There you go. The Ha'ikah Lishma, the Gemara says, there are more than three. How about Lishma? Both Get and Shar Shikr have to written Lishma. So why isn't that also one of the Drachim Sheshavu Gitnasha Shura Abadim? So we're saying, according to Rabbi, I understand. Official Rabbi Hanu Malachu Meidi. If you told me one of the similarities of the Fainef Fainechtim, according to Rabba, Fainef Fainechtim is all about Lashma. Okay. But for Rabba, Kasha. Problem. And then he says, and I have another Kasha. And here's the kicker. Bein l'Rabba, bein l'Rabba, ha'eka b'chubar. Rabba will get a free pass. The Braisa did mention Lashma because it said the Fainef Fainechtim, which is all about Lashma. But both Rabba and Rabba have a problem. What about the din of b'chubar? Which the Braisa didn't mention. So the Gemara says, ah, that's a really good kasha. The answer is, this Braisa is only talking about Dim Drabbanan. Kikatani Psul Drabbanan, the Raisa lo Katani. Vanechtam is a Dim Drabbanan. Mechubra is a Dim Daraisa. So what does Tosa say? What do you see from that Gemara? What do you see from that Gemara? We said, the Vanechtam is this, for Rabba is the same as Lashma, but it's not the same as Chubar. So Tosa says, it's a nice concept. You want to tell me that Rabba means Lishma and other Psulim, but the Gemara could not have been clearer that we mean specifically Lishma. So Tosa says, don't tell me. Here, now let's come back to Beis Hamikdash. Tosa says, don't tell me that Lishma is just an example.
It's a nice suggestion, but it's wrong.
Let's pick up back in our choices on Beis and Beis. The first Dimas Lafi, a couple of lines in. The Ein Lomar. Let's start from the top. Im Tomar, not Tomar, we saw the Gimel Tosis yesterday. Im Tomar, Maishna Lashma Dein Bikin Mishar El Chizgidim. Why is Lashma any different, any worse than other Dinim? Like Mechubar, like Shina Shma Mishma, like Nichni of Nechno Maila, all of which are undetectable, as is Shlo Lishma. Ain't Lomar did not get Lishma to Shkir Tvei. Don't they? Well, Lishma is a more common concern, as you told me. Eitan. The Mash, number one, one scenario is Mashka get Shishmo, Kishmo, Shma, Kishma. He'll find the get where his, where they have the same names as his and hers, Umeshadil, that's what he said. And that's one way in which Lishma might come up in a reasonable with a reasonable start to the story. Or another way where it might come up with a reasonable start to the story has Sofer Ravi Lifto Topse Gitin. Sofer was writing form. Adav Shitfe Mishtali Bakhasar Shma Mishma. He was just sort of in the flow, he's out of habit. He ends up writing in names. Oh, he's so used to writing full Gitin with everything filled in that he sat down to write a Tofes, which is Shalal Lishma, just writing a form for who knows whom. And he ends up writing names also. Seems a little funny, but okay, it's going to happen more often than Mechubar. But who adin Shar Hilchas Gittin? We just mentioned Lishma because it's more common, but really all Hilchas Gittin are on the table. Zeino, not true. Not true. Not true. Why? Here, the Arma L'Kaman, Begim L'Drachim Shavu Gittinah Shechur Avadim. And we ask, Ha'ikah Lishma, which is okay L'Rabba, V'su bein l'rabba bein l'rabba eka mechubar. Alma l'rabba davka nakat l'shma. B'chal malachu maybe, v'lo nakat mechubar. So that's the first approach of Tosas, and they reject it because the Gemara daf test. It's not true. We do mean specifically l'shma. So we're back to square one. Back to square one, which is the question of, why is l'shma unique? The first answer was it's not unique. It's just more common, therefore it's mentioned, but that can't be true. So then we saw yesterday, Rabbi Natan had said, it's not halachically different. B'chol hilchas gittin b'kin. They know everything. Hach drasha b'chosav al-lashma ain't a nearest lehem ikar drasha.
they don't agree with it. The Jews in the outlying areas, many of them don't accept the Drashas Chazal of Lashma. The Ein Bikim Perish Ein Choshesh in Ladrasha. Rashi had said Ein Yodim. But Rabbi Tam says, I don't think Ein Bikim means they don't know, literally. It means they don't hold with it. They don't agree with it. They're not, it's not that they don't know, it's that they don't care. And we know historically that there were many Jews in outlying areas during Tkufas Chazal who had very strange ways, very Amaratzish ways of keeping the halacha. They had their own interpretation. So, for instance, I believe it's recorded and documented that the Jews in Antioch, in Turkey, they kept Pesach on the 15th of April, not on the 15th of Nisan. Law of B'nai Torah. Either they just didn't know, or they didn't care what the Sanhedrin said. They had their own, they were doing their own thing. So that's what Rabbi Tam says. It's not that we're worried about a lack of knowledge. It's that we're worried about a lack of commitment and loyalty to the system of halacha. And the truth is, the language that Rashi used, and this we began to talk, I think we left off with this yesterday, the top Rashi and the Amud, Ein b'nei medinas hayam b'nei Torah, the Ein yodim shetzarach lichtav aget l'shem isham. So that first term that Rashi uses, they're not b'nei Torah, so that's a term that comes up at least two places in Shas. Shabbos Kuf Lamates, two places in Shas. Shabbos Kuf Lamates, and maybe others also. Shabbos Kuf Lamates, and Avodah Zarah Daf Nun Tes Amud Aleph. The Gemara speaks about certain particular communities, they're a lav b'nei Torah. The Jews of Bashchar, they're a lav b'nei Torah. The Jews of Gavla, they're a lav b'nei Torah. Which may mean they didn't know, but sounds like likely that it means actually that they didn't, particularly the Gemara of Avodah Zarah, it sounds, it's hard to know for sure. It may well mean that they didn't, okay, they weren't so, not just the lack of knowledge, they weren't so committed. So that's the second approach. That's the approach of Antam, that what? That it's a, there is a chiluk between Lashma and other dinim, but there's no halachic distinction. There's no halachic distinction. Lashma isn't more pasul than mechubar. So the answer is, well, socially it is. Socially it is. There's a sociological distinction. In that society, at that time, there were not so many Jews in the outlying areas who didn't hold the psul mechubar. There were many Jews who didn't hold of the psul Lashma. They were not shomer Lashma. Some people aren't shomer nigiyah. Some people aren't shomer paying taxes. And there are many Jews in the Midrash Hayam, B'tkufas Chazal, who aren't shomer l'shma. Why dafka l'shma? Well, what was the mazel of the din l'shma that they didn't plug into? Maybe they found the drasha to not be as compelling. The chosav la means l'shma. I don't know. Or maybe it was, as is so often the case, as Mesil Sharm points out, and he talks about Nikias, that when there's a greater desire, the greater desire to do something, the more likely we are, human beings are incredibly clever, and we're incredibly adaptable, and we tend to be more heter, more, the more we want something. Areas where we have a greater taiva to do the wrong thing will be the taiva, you know, necessity is the mother of invention, and the taiva do the wrong thing will fuel a tremendous amount of creativity and figure out, well, really, this is okay, and we'll rationalize, and ta-da-da-da. So it may be as simple as, there's not that much of a taiva to be mekel on mechubar. There is a lot of a taiva, there's more taiva to be mekel on shelo l'shma. Because it's just as easy to write it without mechubar as with mechubar, just cut the parchment first. But if you wouldn't say mekel on shelo l'shma, all of a sudden, there are many, many gittin that are now available to you because I could reuse and recycle again. So it may just be that because it was so convenient to use gittin to rin shal shma, sort of sociologically, it's practically, people sort of developed this approach that you know, lishma is just a chsir shachumra. Not really awesome. When in fact, that's not the case. Lishma is a real din. But out in the Medina Sayyam, there are many people who were laboring under the misimpression that it's not a real din. They didn't take it seriously. They were lav b'nei Torah in that sense. They were mezalzel in the din of Lashma. Alicia.
Is there any Nashimina halakha that this takana was made only because there was a certain taiva that they had in that door that may or may not apply ever since?
That's an interesting point. So Elisha's making a fascinating point. The Gemara is going to address itself right here, immediately, to the question of nafkaminas. Why does it matter? We hold like Rabba. It's not just a question of abstract philosophy or the history of halacha. You know, what the Gemara immediately tells us that the question of what was the motivation for the takana, what problem they're trying to solve, is going to drive the design, the pirtei hadin, the gidrei hatakana. The tzuras hatakana is going to depend at least somewhat on what the tama takana was. If they're trying to misakin to solve a lishma problem, they would have applied it in this way. If they're trying to solve any misakin lakana problem, they'll solve it that way. That's why nafkamim for asiyu beitrei, nafkamim for mdim sayam, nafkamim for mdim mdim beretz yisrael, but also mdim mdim zem. And over the course of the next couple of blocks, the way the sugya is going to unfold, many of the kashas back and forth, so on daf A, have to do with well, if you're saying like Rabba, the Gzera ought to work this way, and it ought to apply in this case. You say like Rabba, the Gzera ought to work that way, it ought to apply in that case. So Elisha is asking about the Gakasha. Elisha is saying, hey, one second. So, number one, it's worth realizing that how you understand the first line is going to be very impactful. The understanding what Rabba means, what was Rabba's Kash? What does Bikin Lishma mean? Does it mean like the Ein Lomer? Does it mean like Rebbe Tam? Or in a moment we're going to turn to the Ran? It really matters because they're real nafkaminas in the Tam Atakana. And Elisha is also saying, one second, Rabbeinu Tam is Gashmak in certain ways, but it also seems the weakness of Rabbeinu Tam, Elisha is saying, is that it's built on a very specific sociological metzias. At one point in time, you know, people were mezalza and lishma. Is that true nowadays? Well, not in the world of practical gittin, cedar gittin, but people more mezalza and lishma than anything else. I don't think so. People who write gittin properly do it properly. But I don't think there's such a taiva for gittin shalol lishma nowadays. I don't think so. We have other taivas nowadays. B'tkufas I mentioned, b'tkufas are rishonim in Ashkenazi communities or many Ashkenazi communities where people had this bug in their head that they don't have to wear tefillin. The rabbi wears tefillin. Baal batno have to wear tefillin. No basis. Stop. That's it. And there were communities where people wear mezalza mezuzah. That appears in Hilchos Mezuzah. It's a terrible. There were communities where it was a common practice. You just put mezuzah on the front door. The zehu. I think Ariyam Mezeh, that is a common practice in many, many more observant, conservative Jewish communities. They are keeping mitzvahs somewhat. I think that's a common practice. Put mezuzah in the front door, but not in the inner doors of the house. So different communities have had different zilzulim over the years. So you're saying, one second! So according to Rabbah, the whole takana was built around a chashash that's no longer relevant. So okay, so in the B'tkufas HaTanoim, in the year 200, the year 150, whenever this takana was made, there was a big problem that there were many communities that were mezalza and lishma. So says Rabbah, according to your town, the mele we have to misakin finechtam. And nowadays, who's mezalza and lishma more than anything else? She's saying, according to your town, that's a sociological metzias. So then, should the din be different? Should the din be different? The answer is, it's a very clever question. L'chora, the din should not be different, because generally. Generally, the rule is that when Chazal make takanos drabanan, they make them as a low plug. There's a rationale for why we institute a particular takana. We don't make a takana just because there's a problem you're trying to solve. But once a takana exists, and again, they're going to design a takana that's going to fit the hole they're trying to fill. There's a hole of Ein Bikin L'Shma, so we'll try to design a takana that will solve that. If there's a somewhat different hole of Ein Bikin L'Kaima, we'll design a takana a little different to solve that. But once a takana is built and instituted, it's going forward, the Gidrei HaTakana are independent of the Tama takana. Once Chazal put a takana in place, it's no longer on a case-by-case basis say, oh, but since that case, now the Tama takana doesn't apply, we can ignore it. One of the ways in which you say that is low plug, which is not just a rule about volleyball. Low plug means that Chazal said takanas, and once they have takanas, low plug literally means low chilku. We're not going to differentiate between, oh, but in this case, tama takana, we are concerned. In that case, not concerned. No, low plug. Once you have a rule, the rule applies even if the rationale does not apply. Just like, even if the rationale for calling a do-over on volleyball, it's wood, it's a wire, because it was going for it. Maybe it could have gone over. Low plug tells you even if they had it backwards, obviously it would not have gone over the net. Low plug, the rule is a rule, and once the rule is in place, it's independent of the time. Another way the Gemara will sometimes say that in terms of temporally, in terms of time, rather than parallel cases, sometimes the Gemara says a similar principle in terms of time, which is what you're saying. The Gemara has a rule in Beit Zan elsewhere, Dabashe b'minyin, Tzarech minyin acher lahatiro. You have a thing which was b'minyin, means that there was voted on. Chazal voted to institute the Zindrabanan. So once Chazal voted to institute Zindrabanan, Tzarech minyin acher lahatiro. If you want to undo the takana, you're going to need a new vote. Well, obviously, no. Meaning, even if the original rationale no longer applies, you need to formally repeal it. It doesn't disappear on its own. For instance, there's a Dindra Rabbanan that on Shabbos you're not allowed to take medication unless you're significantly sick. If you're a chola, even though it's a kind of a real chola, you're sick in bed, you're allowed to take medicine. But stop, you have a headache, you're getting through the day, if you have a headache, you're uncomfortable, but you're still functioning. On Shabbos, Midrabban, you can't take Tylenol unless you're really, really sick in bed. If you're not a chola, just a mechush b'yama, just unpleasant, Midrabban, you can't take medication. Why? Rafu is aser b'Shabbos. Why? Because gzeirah shem yisachik samanim. Well, worry if you let you take medicine, so you're going to go to the jar where you have your Tylenol. If there's no Tylenol left, you may make new Tylenol. Now, how do we make new Tylenol? So nowadays, you know, Tylenol only gets made in the factory. But back in the old days, everyone made their own Tylenol, so to speak. You know, if you had your store of herbs and you ground them. So if you're all out of your ground herbs, you may grind more on Shabbos. And to grind herbs, that's the malacha d'raisa of tochin. So the question is, that made a whole lot of sense. That was a very relevant concern centuries ago. But nowadays, how often will taking medication lead you to an act of tochin? Unless you work for Pfizer or Merck, never. I have a friend who works for Pfizer. I have several friends, actually, who work in pharma. Some of them are researchers, or do R&D, finding new medications. One of them is actually an engineer, who told me. To think about Misak Saman for a moment. He says they have these enormous carts that carry the powdered raw ingredients, the active ingredients. When you get a pill, it's usually, they'll tell you how much a couple of milligrams are the active ingredients, and the rest of the pill is filler. They can't just give you a little speck. So they mix it with filler, and they make it into a pill. But there's a couple of milligrams, a few hundred milligrams, in a pill of active ingredients. And think about how much they charge per pill. Now imagine a cart full of active ingredients. These things are like worth their weight in gold plus. So, okay, but in the factory they're being misach samanim. But out of the factory, who taking medication? The fact that I'm trying to take medication is not going to lead me to be toching. So we could have said, look, hundreds of years ago the gzeira was relevant. Nowadays, taking medication is not going to lead me to be tochen. Not taking medication is not going to lead me, not going to make it less likely to be tochen. Lo karav zelzeh. So you could have said, nowadays the gzera does not apply. But the rule is, davish v'minyin, tzarech min acher la'atiro, a temporal low plug. Once Chazal put the gzera into place, once, even if you have a case where the concern doesn't apply, or a person who says, I'll remember. Or you get to a point in history where the time is no longer relevant. It doesn't matter. Once the gzeira is in place, we could convene a Sanhedrin. If we could convene a Sanhedrin and reopen the issue, maybe we'll repeal it. But it's not going to disappear automatically. Yeah.
Is it possible that, could it be an issue though for people that were to cut medication at 20 centuries,
Oh, the choppers, the pill choppers. Okay, Hananel's raising an interesting point. Some people have these pill choppers, you should ask your doctor or pharmacist before you use it. Sometimes it's appropriate, sometimes it's incredibly unsafe. So pill chop, when you chop a pill in half, you create a little bit of dust. That's probably not a malach of... there's a little bit of dust that you're not trying, that it may be a dark, I don't want to get into Hilchos Shabbos, secretion of Shem Muscovin. It's not clear that that's an interesting point. It's not clear that that's a token. But what I do want to talk about now, in the minutes that remain, then afterwards I'm glad to take more questions, let's take a look for sure at the Ran. Maybe we even have a chance to begin to look at the Tosis Das Yua. But certainly let's take a look at the Ran. The Ran is very rich. Let's take a look at the Ran's comment on this issue of Bikin Lishma. Here we are again. The riff, unlike Gemara, starts from Daf Aleph. So we're on Daf Aleph. I'm in Beis Badapi a riff. And the Ran is the Dibur begins the Bam Alf Amid Aleph. It wraps to the top of Alf Amid Beis near the end of that first Dibur. The second wide line, at least if you have the traditional print, if you have the new Gemara, so then you have to find it on your own. You found it right during the Seder. In Tomar, Maishan Chashin Tfebel Lashma Mikam Advarim Hapsul and Beget, like Mechur Bernichtim Nechtim Balayla. Why Dafka Lashma? Or a case of La Omer, he adds some case that Ratos didn't give. La Omer, so for Kesov, Leidim Chasomu. Let's say there was a lack of Tzivu Abal. The Baal, we saw the Raman Lissa in his Tendinim. The Baal has to be Mitzaveh. You have to be a Tzivu Abal to create the get. You can't tell by looking at the get whether it's Tzivu Abal or not. That's as invisible as Lishma. V'chi teim anaka Lishma v'hu adin l'hanach achrini. Oh. It says, now he quotes what Tosis says. Well, maybe Lishma is just an example. The others also. The Mistama. And he says, and how would that help? Well, once we're taking along the lines of Rashi, once he's saying, he'll comment on anything that was strange. Okay, so he's right pointing out one problem with this first pshat is, how did tell you that it was done properly? But then he goes on to ask the same kasha. Tosas asks, look at Daf Testament Beis. So skipping down a few lines, Yesh Lomar, the fifth to last line in this Dibur. Yesh Lomar, Psulim Halalu, how am I going to differentiate between Lishma and the other Psulim? Reon Tamet said there's a practical social difference. In terms of social realia, people are Mezalzel Lishma more, or at least as Elisha pointed out, 1900 years ago, B'tzkufas Chazal, people were Mezalzel and Lishma more than other things. And the Ran says a different chiluk. Psulim Halalu Lusofim Hemesurim. There's a halachic difference. Rather than a social difference, there's a halachic logistical difference. What do I mean? Psulim Halalu Lusofim Hemesurim. V'sam Safri Didaini Mikim Rekimiri. The other Psulim are not a concern. Why? Because the other psulim are things that are handled by the sofer, like mechuber. The sofer is the one who decides whether to cut the piece to size first and write, or to write first and then cut to size. Now, Sivu Habal is really on the husband, but the sofer is there. The sofer is not going to write a get. A proper sofer is not going to write a get unless he got a proper Tzivu Habal. Stam Safra the Daini Mikim Rekimiri. So why does it matter whether the sofer or the husband? Because the soferim tend to know the dinim. That's what the Gemara says on the bottom of this Amud. Ukeshechoshesh ubilishma lo mishum sofer mishum dilma achteve mar bar mase viyave lahai deshmei kishmei. He says, the difference between Lishma and the Psulim is because Lishma is the only one that the husband can mess up on his own. Because there's sofer karate get that's totally kosher and totally gevaldic for this fellow Reuven and his wife Aliza. But then some other guy named Reuven is going to take that get and use it for his wife Aliza. The sofer didn't do anything wrong. The sofer wrote it for the couple for whom he was commissioned. Subsequently, it's going to become possible. It would start as kosher, becomes possible later. Lishma is the only case, says Iran, where a get could start kosher and become puzzle. Oh, gevaldik. And then he just has to clean up a problem. It's such a good, it's a gevaldik, a chiddush. Right? So that's what I was saying before. It's not a social metzias, it's a halachic metzias, a halachic logistics. The way in which Shalom Lishma plays out, there are cases of Shalom Lishma that don't involve the sofer, that are post-sofer. All other psulim have to involve the sofer. All psulim either have to involve the sofer or have to do with the nesina. So we need something in between, because we don't need the shliach to talk about the nesina. We're watching the nesina. The ksiva, we assume the sofer did properly. So we're only looking for in the middle, centrist psulim. We're only looking for psulim that are post-sofer, but pre-nesina. So what's post-sofer and pre-nesina? Only lishma, because, and by the way, another thing that you gain with this pshat is it solves the second problem that Rashi had raised. What was the second problem that Rashi had raised?
How does b'fanei nechtav even help? Nechtav lishma. So further on, lishma. Because the primary, the concern really, we're really trying to get at, is a case where it was written for husband number one. Now husband number two is the one who's sending it. So if we say, if the shliach says b'fanei nechtav, that's already speaking to the issue. The Ran is going to raise the problem.
But the Gemara, the Gemara in the Bam Beis and Beis mentions this reality, Stam Safri the Dining Migram and Gemiri, that Sofre Hadayanim, the Sofre were writing Gittin, Sofre from the court tend to know the din. The problem, of course, is that the Gemara mentions it in the Bam of the Yomud in the context of Bikin Bilashma. So the Ran's going to have to, figure that out. We are just in terms of coming attractions. We'll come back. We spent some time today on how the rabbanim work in general. Spent some time on a little plug, Darshamin, which is going to be important as the sugya unfolds. Next time, we'll think a little bit more about the Ran, and we'll jump into the Asyua, where we'll see Rashi has one pshat. The Rishonim have 3, 4, 5 kashas on Rashi, and we're going to see what they give and how the Achronim suggest they could defend Rashi, and we will come back and see that the defenses of Rashi in the next discussion, Dasyua Beitre, may ultimately help us to come back to the beginning of this sugya and fix up the first pshat that Tosfos rejected in Bikin Bilashma.